continue our series of lessons on the science of the Christian life. And tonight I'm going to teach on the subject, the science of anger. I'll teach you how to become angry. It won't take me long. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to give you tonight something that will help you. I'm going to give you first my outline concerning anger, and second, my formula concerning anger. I promise you tonight that if you listen carefully, you'll be helped. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, before I pray, get you a piece of paper and get you a pen. And I want you to write. I'm going to give you the outline tonight, a little seven-point outline and then seven-point formula that will help you concerning this matter of anger. Now, this doesn't sound like a real exciting. But listen to me now. We don't, let me say you college students are new and old, too. We don't talk here during church. We listen, and we listen carefully. And we learn, and don't cause me to lose my temper tonight. It would not be an appropriate time, but I want you to just be ready to make some notes. But let me ask you, please, only write down what I say, because I want you to have these 7 points, one right after the other, just listed one after the other, and then I want you to have the 7-step formula, likewise listed the same way. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you that it has a secret to our lives and the success of life. And I thank you that there is a way that we can have victory over this unnecessary anger. So bless us tonight in our study, to our edification, to the help of others. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll confess to you before I ever start that I have a temper. I also confess to you before I ever start that I rarely ever display that temper. I'm not saying that I have complete victory over it, but I am saying that you will not remember many times when you found me displaying a violent temper. I have news for you. No, I don't have news for you either. You already know it. You likewise have a temper. I want you not to write until I tell you what to write. Otherwise, I want you to look right this way. I want to help you. I want all of us to do the same thing at the same time. And I don't want you writing. I want to give you 2 outlines tonight, and I want you just to have those outlines. It'll help you and help me tremendously if that's what you'll do. Now, I'm going to give you tonight an old outline. I'm going to give you something that I've had written down. In fact, 2 outlines I keep written down all the time. And I promise you, it'll help you. I say you have a temper. You say, Brother Hiles, I don't. Well, yes, you do. Because all of us do. The Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And you do have a temper. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Brother Hiles never loses his temper. I'm saying that it's a rare occasion when I do. And when I do, I'll get to that after a while. Now, I want to give you first 7 things, a little outline, a little play on word outline. I promise you it'll help you, so listen carefully to me. Number 1, and this is not a double negative here, it sounds like it. Number 1 is this: not, never angry. Not, and then put a little dash there. I'm not never angry, that double negative. I'm saying not, never angry. What I'm saying is that there are times when you should be angry. Not, never angry. In other words, it is that I'm not teaching you tonight that you should never be angry. God commands you to be angry. It is a command of God. Look at Ephesians 4:31, would you please? 4:26, rather. We were there a while ago. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. All right, what are the first three words? Talk to me. What are they? Say it again. What? Be ye angry. All right. Now it says, be ye angry and sin not. What does it mean? It means you're not supposed to sin with your anger. Now God commands us to be angry. Listen carefully. It is not a sin to get mad. It is a command that we should be angry. Now, as I've said before, a command is something that can be obeyed by the will. God never gives you a command that you cannot decide to obey. Which means, if that be the case, you're commanded to be angry. That means you're only, and don't miss this, you're only supposed, please do not write now, look at me now, look at me. I want you to hear me. I want you to follow me. I know what I'm talking about tonight, and I know how to teach it. If you'll do what I say now and listen to me, and when I say write, write. When I say don't write, don't write. Now, follow me carefully. If God says, be ye angry, then that means that you, any command that God gives means that with the will we can obey that command. That means that I am only supposed to be angry when I decide to get angry. You see what I'm trying to say? Anger is a command of God, and since God says, be ye angry, if God says, love one another, that means I must be able to choose to love. Is that not true? God commands. He doesn't say, try to be angry. God says, be ye angry. Which means that a Christian should be able to decide when to be angry. That means we can choose to be angry. Let me read for you without your turning to it. Let me read for you a couple of verses here. And I'm reading from Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Now down in, I'll read another verse. I think I will. Let's see. I think that's verse number 10. Of Numbers 11. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Or look at me. That word kindled means that God decided to get angry. That's remember the old wood we used to put on the fire in the wood stove, the kindling wood. It was little thin pieces of wood we put on the fire to get the fire started, and then we put the log on top of the kindling wood, and the log would burn. Now, the kindling wood was the starter. Now, that means this. God says that a Christian is supposed to be angry on occasion. Now, we're supposed to be able to kindle that anger. We're supposed to be able to decide when we get angry. It is of the devil when somebody makes you angry. Are you listening? It is of the devil when somebody provokes you to become angry unless you decide to be angry. Anger is a tool that is supposed to be used when it is needed and not used any other time. So, this means we can choose to be angry, and it means it's all right to be angry. 18 times in the Bible we have the term, the anger of the Lord. 18 times the anger of the Lord is in the Bible. All right? The first point was what? Not what? Not never angry. Say it. Not never angry. That means I'm not telling you to never be angry. Because you are supposed to be angry, because the Bible commands you to be angry. Be ye angry, says Ephesians 4:26. Now, the second little point of the outline, I want you to write down, not soon angry. Not soon angry. Not soon angry. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures here, because if you want to look them up, you can later on. Here we go. Nehemiah 9:17. Joel 2:13, and don't ask your neighbor if you miss one. Just take up where you can, and I'll come back and repeat them. Nehemiah 9:17, Joel 2:13, Proverbs 15:18, Proverbs 16:32, Ecclesiastes 7:9, Proverbs 14:17, Jonah 4:2, Nahum 1:3, Psalm 103:8. Psalm 145:8. All right. Now that's, I'll read them again. Nehemiah 9:17, Joel 2:13, Proverbs 15:18, Proverbs 16:32, Ecclesiastes 7:9, Proverbs 14:17, Jonah 4:2, Nahum 1:3, Psalm 103:8, Psalm 145:8. Now look at me. It's time that you husbands quit flying off the handle at your wife. It's time you quit fussing and screaming at your wife. There's not a week of my life when some lady comes to my office and says, "My husband hit me." You are a dirty bum. You are a yellow-bellied, yellow-spined coward. No, listen, look at me now. Look at me. Don't write now while I'm talking to you. I want to talk to you. I want us to write together. I want us to listen together. Don't make me say that over and over again tonight. Now listen carefully to me. A man who loses his temper to his wife is not a good Christian. And don't you talk to me about you're worthy to be a preacher or worthy to be a ministerial student or worthy to be a deacon or worthy to sing in the choir. I'm simply saying it's time that you men got control of your tempers and got the place where you don't fly off the handle. Now, it's likewise time that you ladies got to the same place. No, there's nothing as unfeminine as a hot temper unless it is a temper controlled by the Holy Spirit and done in obedience to God. And I'll tell you what that means after a while. Now, I want you to read some of these verses with me, please. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 17. I want you to read the first line of that, please, the first half of that verse. Proverbs 14:17, out loud. Ready? "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Now look over to Proverbs 15 and verse 18. Verse 18. Read it out loud. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." All right? Now turn to Proverbs, 16:32. 16:32. Read that out loud, the first line, please. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." Now Proverbs 22, hold on, we'll hold off right there. I'll come back there for a while. Now, all these scriptures I showed you a while ago, look at me now, look at me. All these scriptures I showed you a while ago are scriptures that tell us we're not to soon be angry. Now, listen to me carefully. If you're not supposed to soon be angry, then you're supposed to decide when you get angry. Is that right? Are you listening to me? That means if you're not supposed to soon be angry, that means that you're supposed to decide not to get angry in a hurry, and you're supposed to decide when you get angry. Ladies and gentlemen, anger is a tool that is supposed to be used for good, just like love is, and just like kindness is, and just like goodness is. Anger, for example, we had a young man in our church, grew up in our church, and he was called to preach, went off to college, became an assistant pastor. He got to where his pastor was talking one day and said, "This guy's lazy. He's one of our boys. Went to another college. And before our college was started, this pastor said, this assistant pastor grew up in your church, the guy's lazy. He comes to Sunday school 15 minutes late on Sunday morning. He comes to Wednesday night service 15, 20 minutes late. The guy's lazy." Okay, I talked to the fellow, the guy from our church, the assistant pastor, and told him, and didn't do any good. So I decided to get mad. Hear that? I decided to get mad. Now listen carefully. I am not supposed to get angry unless I decide to get angry. And I'm only to decide to get angry when my anger will help somebody. And so I decided to get angry. I'll call him Joe. I went to see him. I said, "Joe, you're not worth shooting. You're a disgrace to the ministry. You'll never amount to anything. I'm sorry you're my preacher boy. I'm disgusted with you. I wish I hadn't signed your license paper. I wish I hadn't ordained you. I wish you'd do God a favor and me a favor and quit the stupid ministry. You're a disgrace to your church, your parents, your pastor, and your God." I turned around and walked off. He was never late after that. He became a pastor. He built a great church, and for years has been a successful pastor. And he said, "I told somebody, I'll show him." That's exactly what I had in mind. See, I used, or by choice, by my will, the tool of anger. Not because I wanted to get something off my chest. Not because I wanted to unload on somebody. I said again, anger is a tool. We're never supposed to be provoked to anger unless we decide to be angry. And if we're not to be soon angry or slow to anger, that means we are to decide when we get angry. Hey, this will change your life. I know what I'm talking about. It'll change your life. All right? First, I'm not what? Anybody home? I'm not what? I'm not what? Never angry. Second, I'm not what? I'm not soon angry. This is an outline that I've had in my drawer for a long time. Number three, not long angry. Not long angry. Not long angry. Turn to Ephesians 4:26 again. Ephesians 4:26. Read it out loud, please. Ephesians 4:26. Ready? Be ye angry and sin not. Hold it a minute. Does that mean it's a sin to be angry? No. It's a sin to misuse anger. Be ye angry, and read it again, and sin not. Keep on. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What does it mean? Look at it. It means that you are never supposed to stay mad over 24 hours. Never. Okay. First, not never angry. Second, not soon angry. And third, not long angry. Okay, Brother Claire, come up here and make me mad. Make me mad.
Why don't you get a different looking tie? That thing looks like a piece of junk. Looks like a rag. What'd you do, go to Goodwill to get that? I'm telling you, you know, the type of position that you're in, you should be wearing better looking clothes than that. I'm really surprised. You're going around here looking, you're looking like a slob. You know, you got people that look up to you, and you go around here looking like that. I'm surprised.
I decided to do that. Now, that was the left hand, too.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good.
Now, it means that I am not to be soon angry, which means I am to decide when I get angry. But wait a minute. I'm not to decide when I have had enough. No, that's not it. That's not what the Bible's talking about. It doesn't say, count 1 to 10 and before you get angry. No, it means that I have got to figure out some way to help him. Now, I'm going to give him my tithe, what I'm going to do. But I'm not soon angry. Now then, also, I'm not long angry. Now, if I'm not soon angry, I must decide when I get angry. And if I'm not long angry, I must decide when I quit being angry. You say, that sounds like me, just turn it on, turn it off. You're getting close to what I'm saying. You're getting close to what I'm saying. I mean, you're supposed to turn anger on just like the faucet and turn it off just like the faucet. Yeah. Why? All right, I've got to figure out some way. I must not get angry unless it is for the good, as a tool, as a good for an object. Which means, number one, not never angry. I'm supposed to be angry sometime. Number two, not soon angry. I'm not supposed to fly off the handle, if you please. Number three, not long angry. Okay, one is what? Not what? Not never angry. Number two is what? Not soon angry. Number three is what? Not long angry. All right? And this implies that as you decide to get angry with your own will, look at me, as you decide to get angry with your own will, I will to be angry and I will to stop being angry. Because it says not soon angry, that means I decide when to get angry. And it says not long angry, that means I decide when to quit being angry. Now, when should I quit being angry? When the tool has been used for the amount of time that I think it needs to be used for the benefit of someone that I love. Now, that means, Mom and Dad, listen. Now, children, if you hold this against your mom and dad, you won't get it. But that means that Mom and Dad should only, you should be angry sometimes at the children. But you should only be angry when you decide to be angry. And you should quit being angry. Listen, I'm not kidding. And you should quit being angry when you decide not to be angry. Now, let me make it very plain. None of us is perfect. None of us does everything like we ought to do. But it can be a way of life, though sometimes you'll forget. This can be a general way of life where you don't fly off the handle and you decide to get angry and you decide when to stop being angry. All right? Answer number one was not what? Talk to me, not what? Not never angry. Two was what? Not soon angry. And three was what? Not long angry. Number four, not often angry. Not often angry. Not often angry. Again, only as a tool. Only as a tool. Number five, not made angry. Not made angry. That makes me mad. I'll get there after a while. And I'm going to bypass that for right now, but I'm coming back there after a while. It means this. It means that I am not to allow you to provoke me to anger. Look at me now. It doesn't take long to write down not made angry. That means I am not to be made angry. You are not to make me angry. Are you listening to me? Some of you folks don't have the foggiest idea of what going to church is all about. Going to church is not because it's Wednesday night. You're supposed to go to church and sit there and be bored for an hour. Going to church is to come to church and learn how to improve yourself, learn how to behave yourself, learn what the Bible says about living. And the Bible says, I'm not supposed to be made angry. What does it mean? I'm not supposed to get mad without a cause. I am not supposed to get mad till I decide to get angry. And in that is for your benefit or the benefit of someone else. And then I am not to be soon angry. I decide when I get angry. I'm not to be long angry. I decide how long to stay angry. And do it for your benefit. Turn, please, to Matthew 5:22. We'll read just the first down through the word judgment. I have four lines in my Bible. Matthew 5:22. Read it out loud. Ready? But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Look at me. That does not mean to be in danger of the great white throne judgment. That means that it would be in danger of losing reward at the judgment seat of Christ. But it says whosoever is angry without a cause. What does that mean? That means you're not supposed to be angry without a cause. What is that cause? When your friend or a brother or some object needs you to be angry. There are times when a child needs daddy to be angry. There are times when a church needs the pastor to be angry. There are times when a ball team... Let me use that for a minute. I want to say a word tonight about Mark Crockett, our basketball coach, and the other coaches. I like the way Mark Crockett behaves on the sideline. I don't like to see basketball coaches berating their players, losing their temper to the referees. It's not a good Christian testimony. Now, sometimes a team may need anger, but the right kind of coach, which we have, the right kind of coach will decide when that team needs anger. It seems now popular these days that basketball coaches are supposed to act like hoods on the sideline. And I'm not preaching against basketball coaches tonight, but I am saying that sometimes a team needs the coach to be angry. Sometimes a school needs the principal to be angry. Sometimes the class needs the teacher to be angry. But though none of us is perfect, we're to strive to the place to where we are not soon angry. We choose when to start. We're not long angry. We choose when to stop. And we're not made angry. We are not provoked to anger. We decide ourselves. You call that self-control. All right. First was what? Not what? Not never angry. Second was what? Not what? Soon angry. Third was what? Not long angry. Fourth was what? Not often angry. And fifth was what? Not made angry. That means you're not supposed to be angry without a cause. All right. Number six. Not with the angry. Not with the angry. Not with the angry. Turn to Proverbs 22:24. Proverbs 22:24. Some of you young ladies ought to quit your boyfriend over this verse right here. Some of you young men ought to break up your engagement over this verse right here. Some of you couples ought to get a divorce. I'm sorry. Verse 24, Proverbs 22. Read it out loud. Ready? Make no friendship with an angry man. That's enough right there. Well, I'll do the best of it. With a furious man, thou shalt not go. Make no friendship with an angry man. Now, you listen to me. Look at me. You gals that are going with some guy that's got a hot temper, break up with him. You say, well, I may never get married. I'd rather not get married than live. And, brother, if he's got a hot temper while he's trying to get you, you wait till he gets you. Some of you guys that are dating these little gals that if it rains, two drops of rain, it ruins their whole day because their hair falls. That's ruined my whole life. My hair fell. But I'm simply saying that my Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man or angry person. Now, that means this. That means if you've got a good friend who loses his temper, change friends. If you're dating somebody who has a hot temper, can't control his temper, then break up with him or break up with her. You say, preacher, you're trying to cause my girlfriend to quit me. If you've got a hot temper, you hit right on, you bingo right there. Exactly so. My Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. Listen to me. I'm talking to folks over here. Hey, on the left. I'm talking to that couple right there like everybody else. And don't get that look on your face. Look up here like you want to learn something for a change. My soul, listen to me. Listen. I'm saying you're not supposed to hang around angry people. When you hang around folks that lose their temper, then you yourself will learn not to control your temper or not learn to control your temper. And the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. Oh, Brother Howells, he says when we get married, he'll do better. If he don't do better now, he won't do better when you get married. I mean, if you spend two or three or four dates a week with him now, a couple hours at a time, you wait this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, listen, little outline, not with the angry. By the way, that means that you shouldn't you shouldn't choose friends that are hot-tempered. And if you're hot-tempered, then folks should not choose you as a friend. Listen to me. Nothing I hate anymore than see a few little college people looking around like a bunch of disinterested people. You listen to me. God in heaven is telling us we're supposed to use our temper. We're supposed to be slow to anger. And we started. We're supposed to not be long anger. And we're supposed to know when to stop it. We're not to be often angry. We're to use it and choose by our will to be angry. And we're not to be made angry. People should not make us angry by their behavior toward us. And we should not let people provoke us to anger. And then we're not to be around angry people or make friendship with angry people. First point of the outline, not what? Not what? Never angry. Next is what? Not what? Soon angry. Next is not what? Long. I don't care how pretty she is. I tell you, she won't be very pretty while she's sewing stuff. I was called to a house one day, and a couple was having a fuss. She had just made a banana pudding. It was still hot. And she got so mad at him when we were talking. She took that freshly made banana pudding and lifted it up, turned it upside down, pulled it down on his head. And he didn't look at her and say, "You sure are cute. You sure are pretty." No, she looked awful ugly then. Now, you listen to me. Some of you guys are idiots. You marry the gal that can afford the most Mary Kay. You ought to name her Mary Kay. What you better do is look for somebody that's got an even disposition. You preachers come home at night after a big battle somewhere, a pretty face is not what you need. A serene disposition is what you need. And you little gals, if you spend as much time trying to act pretty as you do look pretty, you'd be a pretty decent Christian. You spend as much time every day looking at this outline. Hey, figure out how much time you spend on your face. And it's obvious some of you didn't spend enough today. But figure out the amount of time you spend on your face every day. And you take that same amount of time and you spend it on your knees every day asking God to help you to control your spirit and control your anger and control your temper. That's the kind of person to make a good wife. And some of you guys looking for Miss America of 1993, brother, she'll be Miss Blubber of 2013. Now, you better listen to me. You better hear me. There are young men tonight in this room who'll have their ministry wrecked because you're looking for beauty instead of decency and serenity. My Bible says that the adornment of a woman is supposed to be a meek and a quiet spirit. It doesn't say false eyelashes and false fingernails. It says a meek and a quiet spirit. My Bible says that's what she's supposed to be adorned with. And listen, if you gals have spent more time controlling your emotions and controlling your temper than you do putting your face on, then you'd be amazed what kind of person you'll be. But see, here's the reason. You guys want you want the little doll. Now, I'm not against beauty. I'm pretty myself. I'm not against beauty. I'll tell you what I am against. I'm against you spending an hour getting your face ready on Sunday morning and not even spending 5 minutes getting your spirit ready every morning. That's what I'm against. And that's what God's against. And you guys said amen. Same thing for you. Some of you guys lift weights, get your body in good shape, yet the truth is, you don't even listen when you go to church. Hot temper. You're God's gift to Schwarzenegger. I'm going to give you a dime for Schwarzenegger. He's of the devil. I said he's of the devil. If he's your hero, you're not right with God. Let Lee Robertson be your hero. Let Tom Malone be your hero. I'm saying that you're not to be with the angry. All right? First point, not what? Not never angry. Second point, not what? Not soon angry. Third point, not what? And then number four, not what? Often angry. Number five, not made angry. Number six, not with angry. Last and number seven. Not last of the out of the Bible study, but the last of this outline. Not make angry. Not make angry. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." What does it mean? It means you're not supposed to make people angry. I'm going to come to that in a few minutes. I'll give you my little formula. But listen, the outline I just gave you, if you put that outline down in your Bible somewhere, and if you look at that thing every day, and if every day you'll ask God to help you live with this little, these seven points, it'll transform your life. Not never angry. It means you're supposed to get angry. But not soon angry. With the will, you decide when to get angry. Not long angry. With the will, you decide when you've been angry long enough. Not often angry. Only angry when you think somebody that you love needs you to be angry. Not made angry. People, external stimulus cannot make you angry. External stimuli cannot provoke you to be angry. Not with the angry. Don't run around with angry people. Don't date angry people. Don't marry angry people. Listen, I'm counseling with at least a dozen ladies right now. I don't mean on a regular basis. I've had at least a dozen ladies in my office in the last 2 weeks who live with an intolerable old goat. I mean, they live with a man that has no control over his temper. Half a dozen of those ladies are scared to death when their husband comes in at night. I counsel with men all the time whose women, whose wives are hot-tempered. Now, there's a way you can... Oh, you say, "Brother Howes, that's just my besetting sin." Well, get victory over your besetting sin. And you can do it if you do what I'm talking about right here. Not never angry. You're supposed to be angry when you choose to. Not soon angry. You decide when to get angry. Not long angry. Decide when you quit being angry. Not often angry. Use it as a tool for the good of others. Not made angry. Nobody can make you angry because of what they do to provoke you to anger. Not... Every time I come to this again, one of these, I think of something. I'm preaching somewhere. Somebody gets up and says something while I preach. If I don't watch it, I'll let that one fellow make me mad at him. And the rest of the folks will go unfed. I'm not supposed to allow him to make me angry. And then number six, not with the angry. I'm not supposed to hang around with angry people. Number seven, not make angry. Now, those are the seven point outline. You ought to keep somewhere. Put it somewhere you can read it over and over again. And don't forget the whole thing is this. Anger is a good emotion that is commanded by God to be used as a tool for the help of people whom we love. Let me say it again. I'm not sure I can. Anger is an emotion given by God to be used for the good of people whom we love. And it is a command of God to be angry, and that means we can will to be angry, and if we can will to be angry, we can will not to be angry. I want to give you seven things I do. Boy, if somebody give me this when I was your age, some of you folks, it could have changed my life sooner. Number one, I list what makes me angry. I list what makes me angry. I have a list in my office of what makes me angry. Jorgensen, Evans, Young, Lapina, Young, Bordway, Young, Colston, Young. I list what makes me angry. Number two, I list what I will allow myself to be angry about. I list what I allow myself to be angry about. I mean, a list. I mean, like a grocery list. I write down, you know, paper, pen, doodle, write, letters, words. I make a list of what makes me angry. Number two, I make a list of what I will allow myself to be angry about. I don't want to get angry about something that I'm not supposed to get angry about. And in the quiet of my prayer closet, in the quiet of my solitude, I want to decide what will make me angry. For example, you attack a friend of mine, and I'll be angry immediately. I decided that a long time ago. I decided it. You've heard me talk about it. I was with a denominational leader, whatever that is. In a taxi cab out in Casper, Wyoming. I'd been preaching there, and he had been in the services. We were going to the airport in a cab together. He criticized John Rice. I told the cab driver, he said some bad thing about John Rice. I told the cab driver, now by the way, that's written down. I have that written down in my office. I intend to be angry if somebody attacks my friend. I told the cab driver, I said, stop the cab. He pulled over beside the road, stopped it. I got out of the car, took off my coat, and I said to this denominational leader, now you get out and take off your coat. He said, why? I said, because you and I are going to have a fight right now. I said, either you take back what you said about John Rice, or one of us is going to beat the snot out of the other. I'm sorry, well, I said nasal mucus. Now, I'll do it again. If somebody tries to attack somebody who's my friend, I have decided beforehand to get angry. Now, if somebody attacks me, I've decided not to get angry beforehand. You cuss me if you want to, and I won't cuss you back. You cuss John Colston, you won't get it. All right? Number one, I list what makes me angry. Number two, I list what I will allow myself to be angry about. Number three, this is so important. I try to avoid things and people who make me angry about other things. I try to avoid things and people that make me angry about things that I will not get angry about. I read the first three. I list what makes me angry. Number two, I list what I will allow myself to be angry about. Folks, you call that conquering your spirit. You call it controlling your spirit. Well, if you live like I live, if you've got all the attacks I get, and if folks said everything to you they say to me, some of you folks would be in solitary confinement for multi-murder. I mean, I couldn't have pastored this church 34 years without some restraint concerning my anger and my temper. I couldn't have done it. And some of you guys, you listen carefully to me. Some of you guys that live in the dormitories that can't get along with each other, that same thing is going to come up because you're developing a character habit right now in those dormitories. And that same thing is going to come up one of these nights at a deacon's meeting when you're pastor of a church. And you will have gotten in a habit for 4 years of responding that with anger and temper, and you're going to respond with anger and temper, unprepared, unplanned, and you're going to end up without a church. Now, so I list what makes me angry. I list what I will allow myself to be angry about. Number three, I try to avoid things and people who make me angry about other things. Now, by that I mean things other than what I will get angry about. Number four, I list what makes others angry. I list what makes others angry. This will shock you. I have in my office, and you'll never see it unless you break in and snoop. I have every name of every man on this platform up here in my office, and the things that I feel he doesn't like me to say or do. So I do them to make him mad. right? I mean that. I don't want to provoke Brother Colston to anger. Have you ever seen him angry? Well, then you know how it is. It's dangerous. No, I don't want to make it easy for Brother Colston to be angry. So I want to find out what makes him angry, or what things he doesn't like, or what could provoke him to anger. Hey, folks, I'm talking about the science of the Christian life. I'm talking about spending as much time working on your life as you do working on that meal you cook. What do you call a dish when you have a bunch of things in one dish? Casserole, yeah. Now I'm talking about thinking as much about the way you act and your behavior and your temper and your anger as you do about the recipe for that casserole. Hey, make a science of the Christian life. Find out what makes you angry and don't get around it. List what you ought to be angry about, so you will not get angry without having premeditated that I'll get angry under those conditions. Find out what makes people that you love angry and try to avoid those things. Number one, I said I list what makes me angry. Number two, I said I list what I will allow myself to be angry about. Number three, I said I will try to avoid things and people who make me angry about other things. Number four, I list what makes others angry and try to avoid them. Number five, I list what I can say to make me more angry. I list what I can say to make me more angry. I list what I can say to make me more angry. Now I use ditto marks. Number six, I list what I can say, ditto those, to make me less angry. Now look at me. You're talking to your husband. I don't like what you did. Now, if you stop there, here's what you say. You're just like your daddy. Your daddy was that way. Your mother's that way. And 37 years ago, you said something just like that one before. Now, what are you doing? You're putting kindling wood on your anger. There are certain things that I can say that'll make me more angry. I won't go into all of this. There are certain positions I can get in that make me angry. If I ever want to get mad while I'm preaching, you watch it when I stand like that, brother. That just makes me feel mad. But look, if you're supposed to be angry sometimes because someone you love needs you to be angry, then I want to know how to get angry. And as sweet a person as I am, I've got to work hard at it. You don't love me. Number seven. Only use anger to help the object. And I've said that over and over again tonight. Only use anger to help the object. I'm going to list the seven-point outline again. I'm going to list the seven-point formula again. So you'll have it all. Number one, not never angry. You're supposed to be angry some. Number two, not soon angry. Number three, not long angry. Both of those imply that you can will to be angry and will not to be angry. Turn it on, turn it off. Now look at me a minute. I'm not talking about acting here. I'm talking about putting yourself in a certain condition so as you will respond to that condition with a certain emotion like I taught you not long ago. There are certain things I can think about that will make me cry. Just think about them. And it's not hypocrisy to think about them. Now, if a guy can work up tears, some people I guess can fake tears. I can't do that. But what I can do, I can think about Calvary, and I can weep. I can think about the sacrifice my mother made for me, and I can weep. I can think about my father dying unsaved, and I can weep. I said, number one, not never angry. You're supposed to be angry some. God commands it. Number two, not soon angry. You decide when. Number three, not long angry. You decide how long. Number four, not often angry. It's only used as a tool for the good of others. Number five, not made angry. Don't let somebody make you angry. You decide when to be angry. Number six, not with the angry. Angry, you don't run around with angry people. Number seven, not make angry. You try to find out what makes people angry and don't make folks angry. And then the formula. One, I list what makes me angry. Number two, I list what I will allow myself to be angry about. Number three, I try to avoid things and people who will make me angry about other things. Number four, I list what makes others angry and try to avoid them. Number five, I list what I can say to make me more angry. Number six, I list what I can say to make me less angry. In other words, how to come out of it. Many a couple's gotten a divorce because they never learned how to come out of it. You're having a fuss, you're having a fight. And when I say fight, I'm not talking about this fight, I'm talking about a fuss now. And you don't know how to come out of it. Well, you ought to know how to come out of it. You ought to know what can make you less angry. You ought to know how to stop anger. And number seven, only use anger to help the object. Now, close your Bibles, put your pens up. Let me talk to you a minute. Look at me. The Bible says Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. The Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Now, what does that mean? That means that every temptation that you have that is Sunday head. That means every temptation that you have, Dwight L. Moody had. That means every temptation that you have, the Apostle Paul had. That means every temptation to weakness that you had, John the Baptist had. Well, I just by nature have a hot temper. You are no more hot-tempered by nature than any of the rest of us. The difference is not the degree of the temper. The difference is the degree of the control and restraint. It's time in First Baptist Church of Hammond that you husbands and wives get along with each other. It's time you declare truce. It's a disgrace. It is an absolute disgrace in the sight of Almighty God. Listen to me, the way some of you folks treat each other at home. It's a sin. It's a disgrace. It's wicked. It's abominable. And there's no need for it. It is plain, old, ordinary, ornery selfishness. You didn't get your way. Well, you sorry stinker, you're not supposed to always get your way. I'll tell you something else. You'll get more fun out of letting somebody else have their way. Listen to me now. Their way. And I'm not, right now I'm dead serious. We'll laugh together, but right now I'm dead serious. It's time some of you fellows decided that you're going to be decent in your house. It's time some of you ladies decided, females decided, that you're going to be decent, you're not going to be hot-headed, and the only time that you're ever going to use that temper is when the Holy Spirit directs you to obey Ephesians 4:26, that you be angry. And that's only for the good of the object. It's sad. You boys and girls, listen to me for a minute. Every boy and girl here, listen to me. Every boy and girl. It's time you quit fussing at your brothers and sisters. Listen to me, boys and girls, and I'm not kidding. It's time you quit fussing with your brothers and sisters. It's a sin, a wicked, abominable, filthy, stinking sin. Well, you don't have brothers and sisters who fuss. Not brothers and sisters who are right with God don't fuss that way. Now, you listen to me, boys and girls. You listen to me. It is sin. I mean sin. Oh, you've learned to say point to a cigarette and say, no, no, bad, bad, cigarette. No, no, bad, bad. Yeah, and arguing, bad, bad. No, no, arguing, no, no, bad, bad. And I'm not kidding. And it's time some of you teenagers decided to learn how to treat your mom and dad. It's wicked. It's filthy. It's vile. It's of the devil. For you to make your mom and dad live in hell. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. The other day I heard Brother Mike Haynes say something that's so true. He said, when I was a boy, I always wanted a Smokey the Bear hat. He said, all my life, I wanted a Smokey the Bear hat. By the time I was that high, my goal was to someday own a Smokey the Bear hat. He said, nobody ever bought me a Smokey the Bear hat. I asked my mom and dad for a Smokey the Bear hat, and they wouldn't buy me a Smokey the Bear hat. So if you ever hear that I have run off with somebody else's wife or robbed a bank or something like that, you mark it down. It's my mom and daddy's fault because they didn't buy me a smoky bear. And that's the logic we have. These idiot, dumb, stupid, satanic humanist psychologists. Well, let's go. Well, your daddy molested you when you were a child. That doesn't give you one whit of an excuse not to live right. Let's go back and see what happened back yonder. No, sir. Let's go back and see what should happen today. Every one of us has reasons why we could be uncontrollable, but it's wicked. It's wicked. It's time you young ladies out yonder at the dormitories got along with each other. And she got my curlers. Just thank God. Look at me and thank God you got something to curl. And the way you wear your hair nowadays, anyhow, it looks like you didn't use curlers anyhow. Most of you gals tonight look like you washed your hair and didn't dry it. There's no need. There's no need. Some of you women have to tiptoe around your house. Some of you men are afraid to come home at night to see what kind of mood she's in. Some of you teenagers right tonight, in case you're listening, right tonight, you're making your house a hell on earth for the people that have given their lives for you. How wicked you are. Somebody ought to put you in an orphan's home somewhere. I ought to stick you under a bridge somewhere. Let's live under a bridge and make it on your own. Live under somebody else's roof. Eat their food. Wear their clothes. They've reared and cared for you. Well, my dad doesn't have any time for me. Let me tell you something, mister. Every time your dad went to work in the morning and worked and sweated all day long, he had time. He's doing that for you. Now get a hold of yourself. Well, it's just my weakness. Well, then conquer it. Conquer it. 90% of the people that come to me for counseling shouldn't have to come. And if the husbands and the wives were just Christians, you don't get your way. You're like a little child. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Now, the honest truth is, if God says, "Be ye angry and sin not," He is saying you are supposed to be angry. But there are ways you can be angry and it's sin. What is it when it's sin? When you're soon angry. When you're long angry, when you're often angry, when you're made angry, then you're being angry and sinning. But when you decide for the sake of someone whom you love that they need anger now, just like sometimes they need a pat on the back. Let me illustrate. Oftentimes, a football coach or a basketball coach, if his team is not doing well in the game, will decide to throw a fit. He's not losing his temper. He'll just decide to throw a fit. He'll think his team needs to throw a fit. He'll just throw a big fit. And oftentimes, that's the turning point of the season. Now, that's what I'm talking about. He's doing it for the good of the team. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're doing it for the good of the object, and you do it in obedience to the command of God to be angry, and in being angry, you don't sin, which is being soon angry, long angry, often angry, and made angry. You take these two little seven-point outlines, and you type them up and put them somewhere and listen to what you do. You look at them every day for 60 seconds. When you get up in the morning, 60 seconds, you look at them and ask God that day to give you victory over your temper. I'll promise you. I'm not going to promise you'll never get angry again. I'm going to promise you that it'll get better and better and better and better and better until finally you'll become known as a rather even disposition person. Shall we stand, please?